This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Buying pants shouldn't take this much effort. Too many options, inconsistent sizing, and styles that don't work across your day. You want something comfortable, sharp, and reliable without guessing, returning, or buying five different pairs. That's why there's Jack Archer.
Yes, jackarcher.com simplifies everything with the Jet Setter Tech Pant. One versatile pair designed to take you from work to weekend without missing a beat. Easy to wear, easy to style, and easy to shop for. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. They stretch, breathe, and hold their shape, giving you a consistent fit and polished look every time. Backed by thousands of five-star reviews, they're the dependable pants you'll reach for daily.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your first order.
If you're an experienced pet owner, you already know that having a pet is 25% belly rubs, 25% yelling, drop it, and 50% groaning at the bill from every pet visit, which is why Lemonade Pet Insurance is tailor-made for your pet and can save you up to 90% on vet bills. It can help cover checkups, emergencies, diagnostics, basically all the stuff that makes your bank account get nervous. Claims are filed super easily through the Lemonade app and half get settled instantly. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet and they'll help cover the vet bill for whatever your pet swallowed after you yelled, drop it.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Welcome to another round of the Best of SDHEM from the Soccer Down Here Network. John Nelson here with you, and thanks for dropping by. However you are accessing us, on the Odyssey app at the Off the Woodwork podcast section, 92.9 The Game, or off of your favorite podcatcher. What we do at SDHEM, for those of you not familiar, it's a part of the Soccer Down Here Network. Monday through Friday, 9:05 a.m. Eastern time. If it was 9 to 5, that'd be a little different. 9:05 a.m. Eastern time. And it goes Monday through Friday for 2 hours, usually a little more than that, just because of the news that we have left on the table. SDHAM is part of the start of your day to let you know about news that you might have missed, newsmakers, storylines, and breaking news that happened during the day to get you ready for the beginning of your week, the beginning of your day, or the beginning of your weekend. We bring in a boatload of guests and pundits and experts to kind of get you through the day to navigate everything that you need to know going forward so you can be best prepared to keep an eye on the beautiful game. This week, we get to go around the planet one more time, and it is our first stop. We'll be checking in on the OFC Pro League in Oceania, and we get to get right up against the launch, and it was the first time ever that you got a first time ever, meeting eight teams, match day one, first year, first season, all of that. It was happening this past weekend, happening right now, actually, as a matter of fact, because of their hub system. And we get to catch up with one of the anticipated stars of the league in year one, David Yu from South Island United. The hometown guy gets to be a part of the hometown team. And in Christchurch, New Zealand, that is a big deal. So we get to catch up with him and find out what it's like to be a part of something from absolute zero and building something from scratch in your hometown. Second guest, we go to Boise, Idaho, and catch up with the head coach of AC Boise, Nate Miller, before he hops on a plane and heads to Panama to go scout for talent. They had a recent group of signing. We talk about that. He told us also that they have more in the queue. He hasn't been able to tell anybody about those yet, and he's going to go looking for more. And we find out a bit of an update on AC Boise as they get ready for year one in USL League One. And then our last interview this time around, it's with Rob Smethurst. He's a majority owner for Macclesfield FC. They are the team in the sixth tier of the English pyramid that had the opportunity to knock off the big dog when it came to Crystal Palace last week in the FA Cup. We caught up with Rob on the grounds to find out if it has sunk in yet and what it means to the community, what it's meant to the club, which is a Phoenix club. We find out what it's been like to build that from scratch and for him to be a part of the build after he assumed ownership a couple of years ago, and what this whole ride has been like for Macclesfield FC going forward in the English pyramid as they continue to grow and evolve in this new version of what football means to Macclesfield. So this week it is David Yu, it is Nate Miller, and it is Rob Smethurst from Macclesfield FC. Thanks for hanging out with us however you are doing so. Don't forget, be a part of our conversations. Follow, like, and be a part of them on social media, whether it is on our YouTube channel, be a subscriber at Soccer Down Here. You can do the same on our Instagram, on our X, on Facebook, wherever you follow along. TikTok as well for SDH, and you can be a part of the conversations there as they continue to grow every single day here on the SDH Network. So wasting no time, we go down to Christchurch, New Zealand, and find out what it's like for the hometown guy to be a part of a hometown team. It is weekend one of match day one of year one of the OFC Pro League in Oceania. And we catch up with David Yu from South Island United here on the Best of SDH AM. So, David, you're getting ready for practice. And if the math is correct, I think you're 15 hours ahead of me as we're talking. First and foremost, how does it feel to be this close to starting something that is absolutely new and you're going from ground zero and starting something like this?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite surreal, really. I think it's very, there's a lot of unknowns still, obviously with being a brand new team, but also being a brand new league, you know, so there's a lot of stuff that's, you know, there's stuff that we're not sure about or stuff like that, or we'll start to getting to know. But it's obviously very exciting, you know, it's an exciting moment for the club here in the South Island, and also I think in general in Oceania. You know, I think obviously being a brand new league in Oceania, being the first professional league in Oceania, there's never been a professional league in this region before. So I think it's obviously very exciting for all the countries and, you know, the region itself.
What has it been like? Has it, the gravity hit you of, wow, I'm a part of something that is big for not just my home country or, you know, soccer in general, but for the entire Confederation and for Oceania? Did that gravity hit you at any point of like, man, I really am a part of something here?
Yeah, I think when it's, when I decided to sign for South Island United, you know, and when all the media was coming out of what the league's going to look like, I think it gets you, you know, how big the tournament is going to be. And hopefully it can be a successful one for our team in the South Island. But obviously, I think, you know, obviously being there's so many teams in different regions of the Oceania region, I think it's quite a unique league where there's not, it's not a league in just one country. So I think it's a unique league itself. And to be able to travel to different countries, experience different cultures, I think it's a unique experience for myself and everyone involved, and which we're all looking forward to.
Yeah, and we've caught up with the Solomon Islands franchise and how you're doing hub system, and everybody's going to Brisbane. Yeah. And you're like, you're going here, you're going here, you're hubbing and all this kind of stuff. And it is a very unique way of doing something, because last time I checked, going from, say, Wellington to Papua New Guinea, as an example, is not where you can hop into an Uber and just go. I mean, it's something where you've got to kind of take things into consideration. For someone who's never seen football in Oceania, what are we missing out on by not following what's going on down there in general, whether it's national teams or leagues or pro play? What are we missing out on?
Yeah, I think there's just there hasn't been a lot of coverage yet in that region. I think there's a lot of talent when I went away with Auckland City last year, we went to the Solomon Islands for the IOC Champions League, and you know, you can see that there's a real group of talented players in those regions that, you know, not many people know about, because there's not really an opportunity for them to showcase themselves on the big stage. And I think this brand new tournament obviously helps that, where players can make the next step. And, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot more people watching our league now, obviously being the first professional league in the region. So I think, you know, there's a lot of talent in there that hasn't been, how should I say it? Like, you know, there's a lot of talent that hasn't been getting noticed by a lot of people, really. But I think it's exciting, you know, it's an exciting opportunity for the players, where they can, you know, showcase themselves. You know, I obviously witnessed it firsthand, going to America last year with Auckland City in the Cobble Cup. So, you know, I think it just shows what you can achieve if you can perform well.
I was going to ask, what do you think you learned about yourself, not necessarily just as a player, but as a person, being a part of a Club World Cup, where you're representing a club, you're representing your country and your region, you're doing it on the grandest stage possible. What did you learn about yourself that you think will help you in this process, being a part of this league from scratch?
Yeah, I think I learned a lot myself. You know, I think we learned, you know, what football is in the world stage. You know, obviously coming from a small region where football's quite small. But, you know, we all know that football's, you know, the biggest sport in the world, and playing against the world's best players, the best teams in the world, you know, it's eye-opening, you know, and it's obviously a dream come true for myself and a lot of the players that went last year. And it just opens your eyes on what you can achieve, you know, if you work hard. And you know, and the good thing about this league is, you know that the pathway for the next Club World Cup is through this new Oceania Pro League. So, you know, exciting. You wanna, you know, like myself, I wanna get back to that stage where you can, you know, play in that big tournament.
What's it like representing your home region in something like this? Because, you know, in leagues, you know, you can be reassigned, you go to point A, point B, farthest point away, that kind of a thing. What's it like to be there and do this for you? Basically, it's a home game for you and it's home games for you, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it's a proud moment, you know, like to be able to play professional football in front of your friends and family. You know, I grew up in Christchurch, so I'm a local boy, so you know, I never really got the chance to, you know, play professional football in front of my friends and family. So, you know, I think it's a proud moment for myself, for my family and friends, where they can come and watch us play. And I think it's just, it's good for the region, and the country itself. You know, the more professional teams, I think the higher level of football, you know, we can develop, the players that they can develop, you know, they'll get better, and it's good for the next generation. You know, the more professional football teams there are, it's, you know, the better.
How many folks are hitting you up for tickets for future home matches and things like that? Are they like, hey man, you know, then, you know, hit you in the ribs or anything like that? Who's hitting you up for tickets for like the home opener when that happens?
Yeah, I mean, quite a bit. You know, obviously, unfortunately, the first game is in Auckland, so it's not quite a home match, but you know, I have obviously played in Auckland last year, so I've got quite a few friends and that will be coming to the game. So, you know, hopefully we can get a good crowd, and obviously it's at a big stadium, you know, the biggest one in New Zealand. So we're all looking forward to it. You know, it's not long now, so you know, I think, you know, we're all just excited to kick off.
What's the expectation for you know, for the club there at South Island? What do you guys want to accomplish first season?
Yeah, I think it's we obviously want to be a successful team. And obviously there's a lot of unknowns, so, you know, we're not quite sure how who's going to line up for. It's quite hard to analyze, you know, for example, who's playing for who, how they're going to play, you know, what kind of style they're going to play. But I think that's the same for every team, you know, so which, you know, can make it a bit exciting, I guess. But, you know, we've got high standards for ourselves as individuals and also a team. You know, I think we obviously want to win the competition, you know, we believe we've got a team that is capable to be right up there fighting for the IFC Pro League. You know, and I think, you know, we have to take it game by game. It's going to be a long season with a lot of games in a short space of time. So I think obviously injuries and stuff like that will play a factor. So hopefully we'll be right up there come around May.
Well, and it's like there are times where there could be in these hub situations, 3 matches in 10 days and stuff like that. You know, when it comes to taking care of yourself, are you doing it any differently knowing that this stuff is coming up? Or is it going to be you've got your knowledge base and when you get into those situations, yeah, I'll kind of navigate it there with what I already know? Or are you already approaching it a little differently maybe?
Yeah, I think you have to approach it a little bit differently. You know, obviously we're playing 3 games in roughly 10 days, so it's not easy. And I think the main key is obviously recovery. You know, I think that's going to be a key factor for not just ourselves, but for every other team in this competition. You know, so I think obviously, you know, recovery, you know, you need to get your protein shakes in, you know, need to get your ice baths in. And I think all those small details, you know, it's those small margins that I believe make a difference when it comes to so many games, playing so many games in a short space of time. So I think obviously we've got people in the club and now where, you know, they can help us with that, you know, maximize our recovery. So yeah, I think it's just adding small details to whatever we already know.
And you know, when you're going to be out there, how would you best describe your game and how it integrates into what Coach Rob is looking for when it comes to you out there on offense? What do you bring to the table and how do you see it integrating with what Coach Sherman wants to do there at South Island?
Yeah, I think I see myself as quite a creative player, like to create goals, you know, makes us score goals as well, you know, so I think I can, you know, I've been able to play in multiple positions throughout my career so far, so I think I got a good understanding of, you know, how to play the game. Well, I hope so. but yeah, so I think I'm able to play in different positions where the gaffer wants to play me and how he sees football. So I'm excited to play. You know, we've been training for a couple of weeks now. So I think I understand, you know, what he wants from me. And, you know, it's, you know, essentially just creating goals, scoring goals, making assists. I think that's the role that I have in this team. And obviously I'm looking forward to playing in this team and under him.
Stylistically, what is Gaffer looking for? What, for those that would be hopping in and watching these matches for the first time, what stylistically is going to be out there for South Island? What kind of a game should we be expecting with you scoring 98 goals in 24 minutes?
Yeah, hopefully. But, you know, I think he's a very attacking-minded coach. You know, he wants to score goals. He wants to entertain the fans. And I think that's the best part about him. You know, he doesn't want to he's not a coach that just wants to defend and maybe score one goal and try to hold on to that lead. You know, he wants to score goals. He wants to score as many goals as possible, but also be defensively sound, you know. So we want to concede, you know, not concede as much as possible, but also score as many possible. And the good thing about Rob is, you know, there's not just one style to him. You know, it's these different ways of scoring goals. And I think that's the good thing about him, where there's multiple ways of scoring goals. And I think that's the most exciting part about it.
All right. So who's your first matchup against? Auckland?
Auckland FC.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So what's study hall been like getting ready for Auckland? I know that you guys buried in books and PowerPoint presentations and all those kinds of things. What's study hall been like getting ready for this first matchup?
Yeah, I think it's no different to, you know, analyzing any team really, but the only difference is they've never played a game as well. So we don't really, you know, we're not quite sure how they line up or what kind of style they play, but we've got a rough idea of what they're going to come up with and how they're going to play and what players are going to play. So, you know, we've got a rough idea, and I think it just, at the end of the day, it's, you know, players have to make decisions on game day, you know, and you know you need to figure out on the spot really if things change and if there's some unexpected stuff that we didn't know about before the game. But you know, we've done our homework. I think we'll be well prepared for the first game.
And we are looking forward to it. As always, it is great to catch up and find out what's going on down there. And we cannot wait to have this thing kicking off from scratch. And cannot thank you for taking time out as you're heading out to practice to find out what's going on there down there at South Island. It's going to be a proud moment for the family, proud moment for you that you get to be the hometown guy with the hometown team. Thanks a lot, David. We really appreciate it. Be safe and go get to practice. And I know that you didn't want to give away any state secrets for what you've been studying against Auckland. I get it. I understand. Just be safe. Have fun. We'll see you out there on the debut.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
As a man, finding a great pair of pants feels harder than it should. Some look sharp but feel stiff. Others are comfortable but wrinkle, stain, or lose their shape by noon. And if you're working, traveling, or constantly on the move, most pants just cannot keep up. That's where Jack Archer comes in.
JackArcher.com delivers one pair of pants designed for real life. Whether it's golf with the guys or date night with someone special, these pants will keep you comfortable and looking polished wherever the day takes you.
That's right, Mark. The Jack Archer Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built to hold its shape all day. With customizable fit options and multiple colors, these are the one pair of pants you'll want to wear every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
If you're an experienced pet owner, you already know that having a pet is 25% belly rubs, 25% yelling, drop it, and 50% groaning at the bill from every pet visit, which is why Lemonade Pet Insurance is tailor-made for your pet and can save you up to 90% on vet bills. It can help cover checkups, emergencies, diagnostics, basically all the stuff that makes your bank account get nervous. Claims are filed super easily through the Lemonade app and half get settled instantly. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet and they'll help cover the vet bill for whatever your pet swallowed after you yelled, drop it.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
And we can't thank the Oceania Confederation enough and everybody with the individual clubs enough as we have started our coverage of the OFC Pro League, because once again, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And it is part of the growth of the game worldwide, as we're under 150 days, really, for the world to show up in this hemisphere and be a part of the World Cup in 2026. You're listening to the best of SDHAM on the Soccer Down Here Network. John Nelson, thanks for dropping by. And it is a great opportunity for us through Odyssey and Off the Woodwork podcast section at 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app every single week to catch you up on just a small sample of all of the guests that we have every single time out that we do soccer down here and all of our content. And SDHAM is starting at 9.05 a.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday, on the SDH network. Next guest, we go to Boise, Idaho, and we catch up with him before he heads to the airport. Nate Miller, the new head coach for a new franchise in USL League One, AC Boise, and we find out what the build has been like. They made a big announcement the other day, signing five players, some familiar to a lot of other parts of the footprint when it comes to USL. And so we asked for a bit of a progress report before he hit the road. Here's our conversation with Nate Miller. 5 minutes early, you're on time, you're on time, you're late. And if you're late, I'm closing the door and locking it and you can't come in. So now we go and find out what's going on in the world of AC Boise. And our friend Nate Miller, who is the man in charge, we got a lot of things to talk about. And he is gassed up and ready to go. So are you gassed up and ready to go?
I'm gassed up and ready to go, John. How are you?
Good to see you, my friend. Where are you right now?
I'm in Boise. I'm ready to go to – I'm taking off to Panama today for a scouting trip. So.
Whoa. Panama?
That's right. Players come from all over the globe, John.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I know this, but you get to go down and catch up with folks in Central America in person. When you started this whole thing, it's like, okay, did you have like the big Animaniacs map and sit there and go, well, I want to go here, and here? I mean, the scout – walk me through this scouting and this field trip, man.
Well, yeah, this one came up from a couple agents I've worked with in the past that I've been fortunate enough to bring in some good young players from different countries, especially African countries, but they have a really good network in Panama, and Panama is a country that's producing a lot of very good young players. The league is extremely young. Some of the teams we're visiting, the first division teams, the average age is like 20 years old. And you know, there's a lot of players coming out of there now, but like, I think it's important to get to markets before they're, you know, extremely picked over and discovered. And so looking for some specific profiles, they have some great athletes that are being produced down there. And so, yeah, I think for me, what I've learned is if you want the best guys that fit you, the best profiles, the best prices, you got to go to the source. Mm-hmm. So you can't just sit behind your computer. So that's what I'm doing. Don't be too jealous, though. My flight itinerary, if you look at it, I'm leaving tonight. It's not going to be the prettiest trip, so you don't have to be too jealous of my travel itinerary.
Well, but I mean, if you were to, you know, post pictures on the social media and sit there and go, hey, I'm at, well, if you did like a if you did an airport diary of, hey, I'm here in this airport, now I'm in this airport, now I'm in this airport, now I'm actually watching a match, you know. I just have this vision now of an itinerary that's like 19 pages long, transferring about 9 different times in flights. I imagine it's either Boise to Denver or Boise to Houston, and then flying from one of those locations into Central America, maybe a stop in Mexico City, or are you getting the Nate Miller special where it's like nonstop from Boise to Panama City, Panama?
Yeah, on a private jet. No, it's, to be fair, at first it was kind of what you were describing, and I went back, I was like, guys, I don't know about this, and credit to them, they got me to Boise to LAX straight to Panama City, so it's not going to be terrible.
Okay, just like I said,
it's through the night, so.
Oh, okay, because, yeah. I mean, I was just making sure that it wasn't like, you know, 38 stops and all these kinds of things. Yeah. What has it been like for you to assemble something from scratch where you can take a flight from Boise to LAX to Panama City?
Oh, man, it's a long process. Fortunately, this is my third time doing it as an expansion team, and so I do love it. There's something sick about me with that. I do love it. But it is a great, like, it's so unique, right, to our soccer culture here. Expansion teams, like in other countries, people don't really understand what you're talking about. And so, like, what do you mean the club didn't exist before? That doesn't make sense. But it is a great opportunity because every single player that you bring in and everything that you're building is what you want. And like, if there's a mistake, it's on you. There aren't players coming in where you're trying to move on and you're stuck to guys on contracts. It is like a very unique moment. And so I take it very seriously because I know all the work that we've been doing the last few months and even now, and we're not going to be done till, you know, mid preseason, late preseason, with players on trial, is like that will pretty much dictate most of your happiness or unhappiness as an individual for 10 months. So you better get it right. And so I know the ups and downs of a long season. And so more than the players that we're looking for, I know like the type of type of men I'm looking for, because you spend a lot of time together and it's a long career and these seasons are long, and you have to like really, first of all, trust the players like as human beings first, and then really enjoy who they are so that you can build something that it is different and is unique. And building culture there's no better opportunity than expansion teams, because you're starting with a blank canvas, as you know.
And, you know, so Nate Miller has completed breakfast and he's getting ready for a long day as he heads to the airport eventually before he heads to Central America, hanging out with us here on the morning show. You know, when you have those initial conversations, you mentioned obviously that there are folks that may not necessarily understand. It's like, no, we're new at this because they're used to dealing with clubs that have pedigrees of decades and things like that. Do you experience any added stumbling blocks when it comes to trying to convince players to come to a location in either of your three startups because there's some, well, you want to be a part of something new. What do you mean new? Is there any kind of stumbling block when it comes to trying to convince players to be a part of something like this?
Yeah, that's a great question, John. I think that in our country, so players have been around the USL. It's not like that's something they're used to. Like they know of expansion teams all the time. And so it's not like this super unique thing. When you're doing international recruitment, that is, yes, I think I've only experienced players going like, wow, that's really cool. Like that would be a great opportunity. Because you know, someone's starting something for the first time and someone's coming and saying like, I want you to be part of it. Like there is a level of like, wow, like it's an honor. You know what I'm saying? And for me as well as a coach, for Boise, it's been easy is not the right word, but it is how the club, the infrastructure, like when you show someone we're building a stadium, like this is happening right now. We have sold out all of our season tickets already. Like they catch on pretty quick that this is a serious club. These are serious people. And this city is buzzing. And so who doesn't want to be a part of something like that? And so I think that is not really an obstacle at all. Now at other clubs, you know, I think it could be, and every expansion team I've been on is very different and each city is very different. But this city is also like growing extremely fast. Like a lot of people are moving to Boise. And so I hadn't really thought about Boise too much before the last year at all. But it seems like there's, you know, the city is exciting. A lot of people moving here and the club is doing things the right way. And so when you can show people a vision of now and in the future, off the field and then on the field of this is who we are. This is exactly how you fit into that. I think when you give people like a very clear windshield is this is where we're going and this is the seat you're in and this is why we want you. I think you get really good responses from that.
Yeah. And it takes a special kind of individual who has a special type of internal constitution that gets, regardless of whether they understand the USL dynamic or an expansion franchise dynamic or not, it takes a special individual to come into a situation like this outside of the on-the-field stuff that you're looking for philosophically, that they fit what you're looking for. They've got to understand that it might not be, you know, 32-0 out of the blocks. There might be some lean times where you're on a roadie that you're, you know, playing three times in 12 days and you hit a rough patch and you've got to navigate that as a first year team. So you've got to be looking for special folks that have that understand what it's like between the ears as much as what you're looking for them on the field too.
Absolutely. That's well said. And I think just to add on that, I think that it, you know, that's not just expansion team. That's because something that's so unique about our league in the world is just the travel. And so like having players really understand that this is like you have to show up to away games, as you just mentioned, in the right frame of mind, because some of these travel days are no joke. That's why I think it's important to build your core with USL players who understand that. Because if you come from, I mean, let's just say you come from Scotland, right? Your games are like hour and a half bus ride max. And then all of a sudden now you're trying to get from Boise to our first away match is Sarasota. Like that's like, you know, that's a serious trip. So that's one of those things where it's like you have to get used to it and you need players who've lived it so they can kind of guide the other guys.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you're going to be taking the Nate Miller Airways PJ from Boise to Sarasota for that first match. But I mean, and you know, and we kind of joke about it, but that is part of the deal. It's like understanding how your body responds going from one end of the planet to the other and knowing that you've got to be ready, you know, if you're going to have this short cycle of games, okay, I'm only going to play you 60 here. Don't take it personal because I need you in 4 days, you know, in Chattanooga when we're hopping on more flights and going from point A to point B. It's like, and having the players almost put their ego aside a little bit that don't understand the idea of the hops and the games and 3 and 14 days and those kinds of things. It's like they got to understand what they're getting into as a part of this. And that might take some time.
Yeah, that's it. And I think so much what I've learned, like to be a top coach, to be a really good manager of people, like people talk about communication all the time, but how you communicate with your players, how regularly, in what format, how much of it is individual, like managing the group, their mental state, and just making sure you spend time with each individual for me is paramount to like how I view coaching. So on a very personal level, I've learned, especially with modern players, you can't assume that they understand things. So like understand decisions, and you know, all these guys have built up a healthy ego to get to this place in their life. And so they're all extreme competitors. Now on the flip side, the way I make sure that that's just from a structural standpoint, not as much of an issue, is it like in the USL, like I don't like super deep rosters. Like I like to sign like very, like I like the players that we sign are playing games. Like I don't like having fake depth, meaning like, well, we have 3 players at this position, but you know, this player played 450 minutes in the season. That's not how I build teams. I really like to build teams where you have, I call it 15 starters, like guys who are like, everyone's so invested because everyone's a part of it. And so I think part of creating that culture and that togetherness is making sure that how you structure the roster is one that like everyone who's here every day is playing a big role. And I, especially in the USL, I really believe that that's super important. So yeah, that's a big part of it.
How long did it take you to like the idea internally of, yeah, I'm a short bench guy? Because I mean, there are folks that will sit there and, you know, whether, you know, if you want to bring in the college basketball analogy, they'll sit there and go, yeah, I don't mind doing a fire wagon change and I'll swap out and I've got a second wave and all this kind of stuff. But there are some guys that have been very, very successful in college basketball as an example. This doesn't go, nah, I've got like my 1 or 2 guys. I play with 7 and I'm cool with that. And everybody else knows that if it ends up as the next man up, then they're called upon. How long did it take you to get comfortable with that idea of, yeah, this is who I am. I'm a short bench guy.
Yeah, I think like from a football style and identity standpoint, I'm not a pragmatist. Like I very much want to entertain, and we play expansive football. From what we're talking about right now, it's just like pragmatic learning, like what works. And what works is like, instead of having a second number 6 who isn't of the quality that I want, like my starting number 8 can play there too. And so my point is like, I think there are guys that if you do recruitment right, can play in multiple positions and can cover, you know, in different away games, he can play here. This, you know, this center back can also play in this position. And so you obviously need depth, but that was just for me learning over time what worked for me, what worked for my teams to be successful, and kind of what made the group better. Now, it's not to say we don't have depth, we do, but my point is like, I'm not looking to have too deep everywhere and go next man up. So I think that with how we train, I think you can create a lot of understanding from players on, you know, so that a player is well equipped and has the tools to step in to do like a slightly different role on any given day.
And you've got 5 new guys that you've signed, and it was a bulk buy. It's like it comes out on the release. There's like 5 dudes, and I was like, okay, you're not wasting any time. One of the names that came across in the release, familiar to folks in this footprint with Jake Dengler. A lot of folks in the Southeast know Jake and his time. The 5 guys that you signed, for those that might not know all 5, what do they bring to the table as a part of your roster dynamic? What do they bring to the table there at Boise?
Sure. So, well, we've actually signed 15, but we haven't like announced them all yet. So, I
want to break some news here.
I don't think people would be too happy with me if I did, but no, I'm trying to remember who's been announced. As you can imagine, that's not really my world. I'm, you know, there's a whole thing to that, but you know, I believe, so we obviously brought in Blake Bodily, who is a Boise native, who I've coached in the past in San Diego. And to be fair, like we're very fortunate to have Blake. It's a big signing. He would start on any USL championship team. He was one of the most sought after free agents. And so previous relationship with him coming home, us, this club doing things really well and being at a high level club, I think really helped bring him. You mentioned Jake Dengler. That was me in the last 6 months just watching the league. I actually didn't know who he was. And every time I turned on a Naples game, I'm like, this your first time you watch him, I just thought he was like a classic 6'5 center back, good on aerial duels, tough, but he can really play. And what I really love about him is that he has like an indoor background. He played a lot of indoor. And so his ability to like play close to pressure, use the bottom of his foot, be very comfortable with the ball, usually don't see that in the lower leagues from a player who's 6'5". And so I think that he brings a lot on set plays as well. And we have a set play specialist in Charlie Adams, who we've signed. And so as you put together your roster, you need to have very complementary pieces. And I think who Jake is and his strengths with the other, you know, Jake Krul is our left center back, who's a very like ball progressive passer. He's been a very good player in this league. And he's a player that is very good at coming out with the ball in the back. And then we'll have another center back with a ton of pace to complement those guys, so we can play with that high line and be really aggressive and pin teams in. And so Jake is, my calls with Jake, my video calls with him went really well. Like, I was really impressed with what, you know, he's in his prime right now, but he really wants to push. He feels like he wants to take big next steps, and maybe he needs to be in an environment where more is demanded of him. And I'm going to demand a lot of Jake. And so, but you know, he's a high performer in this league. And I think that's important to have in year one.
6'5" in a phone booth doesn't hurt. Jonathan Ricketts and Nick Moon were the other two.
Okay. Yeah. Ricketts is a player I tried to sign in San Diego twice. He is like a really, like, first of all, amazing leader, amazing human being. At like data wise, he's always pops. It's interesting. Like his dual rate, like his ability to break up play, he's a very reliable and consistent player. And so he's a flexible player that can play across positions. He can play as a wing back. He can play as a right center back in a three, both sides fullback. So again, telling you about how you know, we're talking about how to build a roster. That's a player that can do a lot of, he can fulfill a lot of roles you ask of him. Okay. And who is the other one you mentioned?
Nick Moon.
Nick. Yeah. Nick, I go away. Obviously I've coached Nick twice. So I coached Nick in Lansing and in San Diego. And he just came here from Tampa. Like, there's no one in the world that loves Nick Moon more than I do. I think on his day, when he is flying and when everything is right in his body, he's an unplayable 1v1 player, like just unplayable. So I think that's a player for me that I know, like, there's just certain guys that work for you and work for them and your environment. And I tell this to players all the time, and not just players, everyone. Like, the secret to like a successful player in a club, it's right player, right coach, right club, right time. If one of those things isn't right, there could be a really good player out there that you don't see much from. But if all those things are right, like, players can really, really flourish. And Nick has always been like that for me. And I'm really like thankful that he chose to come here.
Nate Miller, head coach at AC Boise, before he travels to Panama. And you know, how long are you down there, by the way?
4 days.
Okay, so let's see. So if you're leaving today, so you're back on Monday?
I'm back very late Sunday night, and then we have a closed door trial on Monday and Tuesday.
Wow. I was gonna say, Friday morning East Coast time in the let me check my grid here. Well, you know, 10:30 Friday morning East Coast time, you know, if you're in Panama and you just happen to be at a game scouting players, you know, you could always hop on. You
sure. Go ahead. We can work it out. We can do it live from the stadium.
That's what I'm saying. Philip, from 10:30 to 11:05 or beyond, we are wide open right now.
Go ahead. I'm up for anything. Let's do it.
If you've got enough miles and points, And your phone service and the Wi-Fi in Panama works, you can do so. You can sit there and say, "This is me live scouting dudes, and this is me walking down the streets in Panama City, having lunch."
Yeah, I'll just send you my Verizon bill, and we got a deal.
I thought that went upstairs, and not it goes upstairs to the administration. No, I was promoting the club. I was showing what we're doing with all of this money that you're investing in me right now. So Nate Miller hanging out with us as he's getting ready to hit the road for AC Boise. So you mentioned data, and how much of a data guy are you when it comes to looking at players? Because you can't register heart and want to and all those kinds of things, the emotional aspect of it, through data. How much does data play into what you're looking for when you're trying to assemble a roster?
Yeah, I just had this conversation previously with someone, and I think it's a great question. And I think that, like, our soccer culture and really sports culture is so used to just saying data as if it's like this overarching thing. And it's like, when someone says that, I'm like, what do you mean? What exactly are you talking about right now? And so I think that, and the key for me is data definitely has its place, but it has to be a comparable situation. Meaning, like, it is very hard to compare, like, let's just use Panama, for example, that league to the USL Championship. If there's never been any player movement between the two and no comparisons and no precedent, like, someone who maybe is not, experienced what they're doing could say, well, he looks good on the data. And I'm like, okay, compared to that league and compared to those players, and where have they gone? How does that league stack up to this league in terms of strength, but also of style? And so it's like, I think you need to have, like, a very comparable data set to say, like, okay, this player is really, like, strong in data. So, but if we're talking about USL, just the USL ecosystem, it can be very helpful. If your tools are good, though, like I think that there's a lot of data tools that aren't very good. Like, I think we just see the output, but, like, I am always asking, like, what's going into this? Like, I want to know what the back end is, because at the end of the day, the data is only as good. What comes out is only as good as, like, what it's using. And I think sometimes some tools I've been super disappointed to be like, well, I disagree with, like, how they're, like, even calling it, what is a duel, you know? So I think there are certain, like, really good data, like, they're really good, like, tools out there. And then there are some poor ones, and it's an industry that's really growing. And I think there's so many options out there. And I think that you have to not just pick carefully, but also analyze the data correctly. I think the people that use data correctly get the data and then use it in context to what you're looking for. And I think that's a very hard thing to do, but I wouldn't, to me, I still really, really believe in, like, seeing what you're seeing. And I'll give this example. This is why, like, when you say a player looks good in data, like, when you're looking at recruitment, you can see 1 year, his like pie chart is like this, like 98th percentile of everything. Goes to a different club, new coach, and it's like completely different. And so it's like, well, he has good data in the right environment, but in another environment, he's really bad. So my point is, like, the data is just capturing what the output, what the player is doing on match day. And as we all know, it's a human business. What players do on match day, it has a lot, like, can change drastically based on what club they're at and what coach they have and the whole environment that they're in. And so I think it's very, very complex it's a very complex part of recruitment, but it definitely has its place.
Because data doesn't give you emotional and physical context.
Right. Right.
And that's
it's always changing, and players are always changing, and it looks like a data on the same player on two different years is way different. And so you can't just take the most recent year and say that's who this player is. You have to figure out, what will he be like for us? And that's recruitment.
Okay. Nate Miller, who has signed five, he's actually officially signed five, but he says he signed 15. He can't tell us the other 10. And he's going to Panama to recruit. And so I looked at the Clausura schedule, which apparently is kicking off this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend, match day one.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Round one has, let's see. So if today is Wednesday, so there's one match. The Clausura kickoff is on Friday night. And then there are three other matches on Saturday, one Saturday afternoon, one Saturday at dinner time, and one late. And if you are going to make your flight, you will not be seeing Alianza and Tauro on Sunday at 7:15. So there are eight clubs that are going to be playing by the time you get down there, unless you're going to be watching Alianza and Tauro from the airport. Am I accurate, sir, in my assessments of the?
Yep, I'm looking at my schedule here. So we're seeing multiple games in one day. So I'm seeing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm seeing 9 games in the 4 days that I'm down there.
Wow. Okay. So you're not just in the LPF. You're looking at, like,
a couple of them are the, like, two of those are like Costa del Este, like that's like the the U21s of a team that I like. But yeah, so we're seeing one, Veraguas and Universitario. You have San Francisco and Union. You have Plaza and Sporting, Alianza and Tauro, all those clubs. So, and a lot of those clubs have a lot of very, very good young players.
Yes,
so.
And we get to see them in the Triple C, the CONCACAF Champions Extravaganza. We've seen Alianza, we've seen Tauro, we've seen Independiente, we've seen San Francisco. But yeah, Veraguas and Deportivo Universitario is the kickoff in the Clausura. That is at 8:30 on Friday night. Okay, so I see how this works.
Yep.
In a perfect world, when you go down, What are you looking to accomplish? Is it initial relationships? Is it solidifying player transfers? How far down the road do you look to go in a situation like this?
Yeah, that's a great question. You never know what you're going to find when you're on the ground. And so you don't go blind. Like the people bringing us in, so it's an agent that I really trust that I've worked with in the past that's bringing us down there. They actually, you know, they actually pay for the few coaches that they ask to come down. So they're kind of arranging the trip. So when we go down there, they've done a great job. The reason you have to trust the people on the ground that they're connectors. You need to have connectors down there. You can't just go watch a game. So there's kind of like an initial list of players that, hey, we think these guys are available and we think that they're available to move. And we think that they're players you'd be interested in. Now, when you're down there, anything can happen and you can see whatever you see, but you have to have like intermediaries, people on the ground, translators, people who can make things happen. And in different countries, that takes on different shapes on who those people are. There's, as you know, this is life. Like, this is how life works, right? Like, there are just people who are able to open doors and move things. And the more you're connected with those people, you have to have all that in place before you take on a trip like this, or else I think that it's not going to be the best use of your time.
I was going to say, it's like you're going to 9 matches. It's like, how are you getting credentials for all these 9 matches? You're paying for tickets and just wandering in, sitting in the end zone. It's like, yeah, I'm going to go to all 9 of these matches. It sounds like, you know, Ron Meyer when he was the head coach at SMU. We see 40 games on a weekend in high school, those kinds of things. I cannot thank you enough for this. Obviously, on the flip side, when you want to announce the other 10 players, plus all the success that you've had in Panama, obviously, you know, you've got a home. You can come in here and break news anytime you want.
Okay.
You know where the garage door opener is and where the key is under the mat. You know, you can crash. All that we ask is that you get down there safely and that you take plenty of pictures, shoot a lot of videos so we can sit there and go, hey, here's what he's doing while he's doing. One of those kinds of things. Cannot thank you enough for visiting during breakfast in Boise. Oh, that's a segment right there. Breakfast in Boise with you. We will catch up with you on the flip side as we get obviously closer and closer to the beginning of season number one. Be safe, my friend. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, John. Take care. Bye-bye.
That's Nate Miller. He's the head coach at AC Boise, and he's putting up with all of our silly questions when it comes to building a franchise. So it was great to catch up with him and find out what's going on. But yeah, so Nate Miller is apparently going to, he is going to Panama. And it's not like, you know, 19 different stops or anything like that. But apparently, yeah, so he is going to be down there for the first 5 matches of the first division. And his last match apparently is going to be on the 18th at 7:15 in the evening. And then I guess that's when you get out of town.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Buying pants shouldn't take this much effort. Too many options, inconsistent sizing, and styles that don't work across your day. You want something comfortable, sharp, and reliable without guessing, returning, or buying 5 different pairs. That's why there's Jack Archer.
Yes, jackarcher.com simplifies everything with the Jet Setter Tech Pant. One versatile pair designed to take you from work to weekend without missing a beat. Easy to wear, easy to style, and easy to shop for. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. They stretch, breathe, and hold their shape, giving you a consistent fit and polished look every time. Backed by thousands of 5-star reviews, they're the dependable pants you'll reach for daily.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GetJack at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GetJack at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune, which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign-up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Always great to catch up with Coach Miller and find out what's going on. And big thanks to AC Boise as well for letting us in the door to kind of see how things have grown and evolved as they're getting ready for their first season ever. We got to find out about the kit development and what that creative process was like. And we caught up with Coach Miller a couple of times to see how the growth has gone. And it's going to be really fun to see how they're going to be tackling year one in USL League One. This is the Best of SDHAM from the Soccer Down Here Network. John Nelson here with you. And the third interview this week is really cool. And this time around, for those of you that follow the English football pyramid, English competition, what have you, last week it was a cup set for the ages in the FA Cup. 117 positions in the pyramid difference between the defending champ, Crystal Palace, and Macclesfield FC. And it was a big win for Macclesfield FC on their ground as they knocked off the defending champ to advance to the next round of the tournament, which is set to go in about 3 weeks' time. We caught up with majority owner Rob Smethurst at Macclesfield FC, and we asked really what this whole ride has been like, not just the last 5 or 6 days, but ever since he picked up ownership. And he didn't even really remember at first that he had bought a club. And this club that he has now bought has done something very, very special when it comes to the history of English football. Here's our conversation from the home grounds of Macclesfield FC with Rob Smethurst.
We'll see if our upcoming guest remembers this moment. At least he better.
And they've done it! You just witnessed something truly special, utterly remarkable. Macclesfield, magnificent! This is one of the greatest ever upsets in the long, long history of this incredible competition. Macclesfield, of the sixth tier of English football, have dumped out Premier League Crystal Palace, the holders of the FA Cup.
And then the crowd continued to cheer for quite some time, as they well should have. And we bring in Rob Smethurst. Nicely done, sir. Well done. Nicely done.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, wow. What can you say?
I couldn't resist that piece of tape, honestly, because those of us here on this side of the Atlantic, when that moment happened,
You know, we're seeing the, you know, those of us that got up early, you know, we're watching what's going on. And then you start to get the alerts on social media and all this kind of stuff. Hey, you know, Macclesfield, they're leading. Crystal Palace is in trouble. And there's the cutaway of Steve Parrish, you know, and he's got the stone face. As it gets later and later, Steve Parrish probably didn't change today, knowing that Oliver Glasner is out at the end of the year by his own hand. But, you know, you get those moments and Steve's response doesn't change, and you get that moment there for you there at Macclesfield. Has it really sunk in, the gravity of what you were able to accomplish as a club?
I don't think it ever will. I think we've created absolute history. You know, we've come from against all odds. We're a very small football club in terms of the Premier League. You know, we've got players here that, you know, still have jobs. They're plumbers. They're bricklayers. You know, and suddenly, you know, they have gone out there against Premier League giants, you know, with Crystal Palace, you know, in the Premier League with nearly 400, 500 million pound budgets, players on the pitch at, you know, huge amounts of value. And us as a little underdog story have gone out there and made football history by, you know, beating them in, if not one of the biggest upsets in FA Cup football history. And, you know, to be a part of that, and, you know, for the community and the fans and, you know, all the people that have supported this football club, you know, through thick and thin, really, have had one of the biggest moments in upsets in history. So, yeah, it's just been, we're all still absolutely buzzing. We're the team and the staff, we're all so excited.
For those that may not know the backstory, and I am away from my studio space. I'm away from my office. You get to see what it's like when I take that week of vacation a year. I have a Macclesfield Town scarf in my office from the time when it was troubled and they were trying to raise funds and that kind of a thing. And so I dove in and tried to help out in a small way. I've got a Macclesfield Town scarf in the office. The club went away. This is what you refer to with Macclesfield FC is as a Phoenix club. And this is something that you've taken over. And for those that may not know the story, it's got a bit of an interesting twist to it. We can get into that if you want, just briefly. But what's it been like for you to take over and understand what it means to the community there, to this Phoenix club, and get it to this point to where you're in the sixth tier and you get to have this kind of a thing that you can hang on?
Yeah, I mean, if we sort of just go back a little bit, so this Macclesfield had a great football club in Macclesfield Town, and unfortunately it went under, it went into receivership, it wasn't making enough money, and, you know, it was a League Two football club, and, you know, the whole club went under. The heartbeat of Macclesfield, the community was upset, we were, you know, there was people, grown men crying on the streets, you know. And, you know, it was one of those moments where, you know, I'd just sold my business, you know, and, you know, I probably at the time wasn't in a great place. You know, I was struggling with addiction and, you know, I had no purpose in life. And, you know, when this football club came up, you know, I just thought, I wonder if I could make a difference to the local community. And I had no football experience. I've had no knowledge of how to run a football club. I bought it. And I thought, I'm going to give it my best shot. And, you know, we all got together, we created Macclesfield FC, you know, and we started on this journey. And, you know, the first year, you know, we were trying to find players, you know, it was a pay as you play model. We're in the lowest level of football in as far as the pyramid system. You know, and we won that league, which was incredible. You know, we then start the new season on a high, and, you know, guess what? We won that one too, which was, you know, incredible. You know, and that was the moment when we thought, you know, wow, you know, we were getting nearly 3,000 to 4,000 people coming through the gates, you know, on a cold, wet Tuesday night here in England. And, you know, and then, you know, believe it or not, we went again and we did it. We won it the third time. So, you know, we've moved up the pyramid system like a dream. It's been unbelievable. We've got a massive academy here with 600 kids that play every day.
I've got a big foundation where I pay for kids that can't afford to play football. There's about 400 kids there that we buy boots for, and you know, I support and try and help to obviously play the game. And then we also got a school here in the day as well, which we opened the doors and we've got teachers here that can teach. So, you know, we've got kids on that as well. And, you know, and then, you know, the most exciting thing is we got our next promotion. So now we are, you know, in what's called the Conference League, the North Conference League. And we are, you know, it's absolutely unbelievable. And then, you know, the story even gets better. You know, we get start on the FA Cup run and we get through rounds and, you know, and then suddenly, you know, we pull the Crystal Palace, the huge Premier League football club that arrives here at Macclesfield. And, you know, we're just a small town club and with huge, huge belief in what we can do. And it's the real David and Goliath story. And yeah, it was some serious day when we managed to win them.
And I mean, it is one of those stories that on multiple levels, I think folks can relate to. Your story that's attached to it, where you were coming from in your life. And I think that you have something like this, and it's something that you can hang on to on a daily basis. And it gives back to the community more than tenfold, but that's just the number that pops into folks' heads. What has it been like for you in your life to pick up a club at that point in your life and to be able to invest, have the town give back, have the fans give back? You get to invest more. They give back just as much. And it continues. That cycle continues to grow and grow and grow. What has it been like for you? Do you get the chance to step back and go, we really have been doing something special here in a very, very short period of time, and just where everyone has pitched in and gotten themselves involved in all of this? Have you had a chance to sit there and understand what you've been able to do?
Do you know what? I haven't really. I think I'm quite grounded, and you know, I'm a big believer in, you know, helping others, and I've not really stopped. It's a case of keep on pushing and trying to achieve. You know, it's, you know, when I look back at my life, you know, I never really felt as if I did achieve, if that makes sense. You know, I felt like I was never good enough, and that maybe comes back from growing up at school where, you know, you're told you're a failure. You know, I had ADHD, I was dyslexic, you know, and I really struggled. And, you know, I've always got that determination that I want to better myself. And, you know, no matter how tough my life's been, to be able to give back to others and see this community being lifted and putting a heartbeat back into a town is really my biggest accomplishment. And, you know, to make those, see those kids that play out there week in, week out, trying to be footballers, and the whole excitement of that, you know, is what it's all about. And the power of football or soccer, you know, is something super special here in the UK. And to get that opportunity to, you know, on a Saturday, when you see those fans coming through the door, you know, and their excitement, and they're with friends and they're with family, and, you know, they're with grandparents, and, you know, the grandchildren are here. And, you know, that's what a real community is about. And I think that's the most sort of feel good factor for me, that we've created something so special.
And it was a stand up move by Terrace and Crystal Palace. They basically said, nah, you can hang on to receipts. It's all you. When you get to see when that something like that happens, you know that Steve Parrish gets it. He knows what the lower divisions mean to each and every one of their communities. When he told you that, when Crystal Palace said, nah, hang on to it, we're cool, what did that mean to you and to the club?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, you know, these clubs cost an awful lot of money to run. You know, they're very expensive. Sometimes we're always trying to cover the costs. So we're always looking for support and people to help us along that journey. And, you know, when he did that, you know, those things are really special. You know, they are the biggest in the Premier League, you know, the money that they've got, you know, to help out, you know, a club like us that is on that journey, you know, trying to move up the leagues. You can't thank them enough. And when we won the game as well, you know, their fans were incredible, you know, a standing ovation, you know, clapping, even though they must have been so hurt inside for seeing a massive Premier League performance like that. They really like showed what a real community club they are. And,
you know, it was, that was a touching moment for me to, you know, that was a touch of class from Crystal Palace.
When, you know, here in the United States, we have our cup competitions as well. And, you know, we have the all-in tournaments where the amateur clubs, the clubs that are just, it's like, hey, can you come and hang out and be a part of a starting 11 on a Saturday? We have that element, our Open Cups as well. For someone who doesn't necessarily understand what the FA Cup means to English football and to the entire scope of it all, how would you describe it?
I think it's one of the most biggest tournaments, you know, in the country. You know, it's been going for such a long time. It gives the smaller clubs a dream, you know, a potential, you know, dream of a David Goliath story. You know, though it even very, very rarely happens. You know, it's a huge tournament where the smaller clubs get the opportunity to play against the big ones if they are lucky enough. You know, and, you know, the way it works over here is you have to get through so many rounds. I think we had to get through around 6 rounds before we even allowed to enter, you know, the league system of bigger players, bigger clubs. So we've been working hard all through the season, you know, already to get to the level. And then it's only now that the last in round 3 where the Premier League clubs come in. So to draw them was incredible. And then obviously to win was just incredible. And then to top it all off, we're still going. We've now got.
Oh. I think somebody probably tried to call.
Another massive game against Brentford,
yep.
Which is unheard of to have two Premier League clubs coming over and playing. So if we win that, which would be a dream, wow, there will be no words. There will be, I'm sure there'll be lots of partying.
I no doubt about it. Rob Smothers hanging out with us here from Macclesfield FC.
Have I froze?
No, you're good. No, you're good. You are all good. Yeah, you're good. You're good. You are okay. You're good to go. You didn't.
I think I may have gone.
Nope, you didn't. You're good. You're right there. I know that we were having to deal with connections and everything, but no, you are good to go. And you checked out. Okay, so my guess is somebody tried to call Rob. So we'll find out here what's going on. And when you have cold fingers and 0 degrees outside.
I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yep, you're good. No, I don't. You're good. You're good.
I apologize. Yeah, I think someone rang me as I'm on the phone, and it's just literally kicked us off. So,
yes, yeah, that happens every once in a while. No worries on our end. What has have you had conversations after the win over Crystal Palace, and then you get the draw, and then you're ready for Brentford? Have other owners in the National League, have they rung you up? Have they asked for feedback? Do you guys have regular conversations about day-to-day operations? What have the conversations been like with you and the other owners there in the league after the win?
I think it's a huge advocate for our level. You know, we don't really speak to, we kind of don't really have those relationships. We're all in competition. So we kind of, you know, I'm not saying it's a love-hate relationship, but you know, we all get on behind the scenes and we're all one, but you know, it is a very competitive pyramid system. And, you know, if we can have advantages over, you know, other clubs and vice versa, you know, we're all trying to, you know, recruit the best players we possibly can. You know, there are clubs that are trying to poach our players, and, you know, we like players that we've seen at other clubs. And, you know, sometimes as an owner, it's not great when you're doing so well and, you know, a bigger club comes in for one of your players, you know, at more money, and, you know, you can't keep them. So, you know, you tend to be kind of a closed network, really. And I think, you know, we're all pushing the right direction. You know, we all want the best for all the clubs. Of course we do. And there's huge respect there. You know, we were kind of like a very big fish. You know, in a small pond as we were moving up the leagues, but we've got to a stage now where we're starting to see the quality shine from other clubs, and very much a level playing field as far as budgets. So you kind of, you know, you have huge respect for them, but yeah, a lot of them have all kindly sent some really nice messages.
And you are that effect. You are in a true fight right now. You do have two or three matches in hand, depending on who we're talking about in the standings. But
in the lower divisions, and legitimately it starts probably just as soon as you hit a championship, but from there down, it is a Pierce brawl. It is taking swings, and you've got to come out hot, and you've got to stay hot the entire time. Right now, the way things are, with matches in hand, you're 3 points out of the promotion playoff spots, because there have been folks like South Shields and you know, Kidderminster Harriers. They've gotten that good start, and they're right now, they're in there locked in. It is a true fight to get into that seven spot. But the thing is, with all the matches in hand, you're only 3 points out of the promotion playoffs. I mean, this is something where and correct me if I'm wrong, it just feels like you've got to be at 100% energy, whether you're on the field, off the field. You've got to be gassed up the entire time. There's no rest for any of you, it seems.
That you're absolutely spot on. There isn't, you know, we're driving, we're pushing, you know, we've got to keep going. You know, because of what we've had to go through with the FA Cup, and we're also in the FA Cup Vars as well, you know, we're well behind the other clubs as far as the amount of games that we've played. So, you know, we've got a massive backlog here of games now. So it'll be Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday games now, you know, and it's going to be relentless for us, you know, to the end of the season, you know, and it's going to be tough. But, you know, the start of the season for us, you know, was our first time in this league. So, for us, it's really a learning. It's about me learning about the players. You know, I wanted to give all the players the best opportunity to still play at these levels, you know, when they moved up, because they did such a convincing win last season that we had to give them an opportunity. And, you know, some of those have really shone, some of those have come through, and others haven't. You know, we've brought in a new head of recruitment now to start to strengthen, to look at higher levels, higher leagues, to see if we can start getting players of the ability for this one. So for us, this is a kind of a year for me to sit back, you know, develop, better ourselves, you know, steady the books, and then kind of just then look at, like, what do we need in this at this level? So sometimes, you know, trying to win too quick, you know, believe it or not, and move up too quickly, you know, if we're not ready for it, then, you know, we can position where we could be financially out of control, or, you know, we've bought wrong players, we've rushed the decisions. So this is kind of a free hit for us this year. It's kind of, let's learn, let's sit back, let's experience what we've got to go through. And then, you know, we can recruit well in the summer. You know, it's a much more physical league that we're in this season. The players are taller, bigger, stronger. You know, they work on a lot of set pieces, you know, and big long throw-ins, you know, and we've always been very fast, dynamic, quick, you know, playing through the thirds as quick as possible, attacking fast football. You know, and sometimes, you know, we're getting knocked off the ball and we're struggling. And then other opponents, you know, we're running rings around. And, you know, it also comes down to fitness as well. You know, we've got a lot of full-time teams in our league as well. We are part-time, but I think next year we're going to have to make that move to become more full-time, you know, and start with a full-time team that trains every single day, because we're seeing fitter, stronger players, and we've got to adapt and be better at that.
Has there been one thing that you have learned about yourself that you didn't realize as a part of this picking up the franchise and owning Macclesfield to this particular season? I'm not necessarily including what's happening at Crystal Palace, but what have you learned about yourself as an individual and as an owner in this whole process since you took over?
I think, you know, I probably came in here just the typical kind of, you know, nice guy, you know, respectful, and I still am that. But what I have had to realize is that it is a tough sport. You know, it's ruthless. You're dealing with agents, you're dealing with you know, people's emotions. You know, you've got to be, if you haven't got a player that's good enough, you know, you can't keep them. It doesn't matter whether he's your best friend or not. You know, it becomes a very ruthless environment to become the best by, you know, buying in the right players. Recruitment's been huge, you know, and I think that's been a big thing for me is kind of having that more ruthless side a little bit towards how I have to operate, which was never me, you know, that was never me as a person or a makeup. But when it comes to winning, and determination, you know, you have to find that sort of resilience, as well. And I think, you know, what I've also learned as well is social media as well, the power of, you know, how people aren't nice on social media, you know, and, you know, when everything's going great and I'm doing fantastic as a club owner, you know, you're the best thing in the world. You know, when things start to lose and you start losing games and matches, you know, people can very easily switch and turn and you know, and make really nasty comments. And I think that's the hard thing, where you have to strengthen yourself up, become more resilient, more ruthless, and maybe not worry so much about what people think as well. You know, you've got a direction that you've got to focus on, that, you know, you believe in. And as long as I believe in myself to be able to be the best that I can, then, you know, I will keep pushing.
Okay, so you've got a match tomorrow, yes?
We got a match Saturday. Yeah, we're playing Oxford here. So we've got you know, the lads have been preparing all week. Obviously, you know, it's our first game back into the league. You know, again, this is what we pay the players for. This is about the serious stuff. You know, this is the push for promotion now. So the lads are back to it. They're focused. It took me 5 days to find them, by the way. You know, after we won Crystal Palace. You know, I still think I've lost my striker. I don't know where he is, but I think we've finally got him back to the football club. So he, yeah, it's been so much fun.
Absolutely, and thanks for letting us knock on your door to kind of let everybody see what the ride has been like. It looks like it's is there an official date for Valentine's weekend when you play? Is there an official date yet?
We think it was going to be the 16th. We haven't got full confirmation, but we believe it will be 16th. It'll be on TNT. I'm sure hopefully you guys can watch it there. You know, and also on YouTube, we've got two documentaries as well with the me buying the football club. It's called Robbie Savage Making Macclesfield. You know, and, you know, that'd be great if you get behind us and, you know, wish this little small town the best of luck against the big giants.
Big thanks to all of our guests this week for letting us into their world so we can share their world with yours here as we continue to talk about the beautiful game and the world of soccer every single week here on the Best of SDHAM. Once again, thanks to our friends at South Island United and at the OFC Pro League for letting us in as they kick off everything for this league in its history this weekend. And you can watch all of those matches on FIFA Plus. Also, once again, thanks to our friends at AC Boise and to Nate Miller. Hopefully he goes down and does some safe scouting in Panama and Central America and comes back early part of the week. And he comes back in great form with a lot of intel for assembling a roster in year one of a franchise in Boise, Idaho. And once again, big thanks to Rob Smethers, who took time away in the middle of the afternoon on a Friday as he was getting ready for a match day weekend to catch up with us and let us know about what's going on there at Macclesfield FC after one of the biggest upsets in FA Cup history. That is the Best of SDHAM. Once again, the Soccer Down Here Network. Be a part of our conversations on social media, whether we're talking Instagram, on X, on Facebook, on TikTok, you name it, we're there. And you can also go to soccerdownhere.net and read a lot of our material that is attached to the beautiful game as well, whether it's storytellers and story makers that we have on SDHAM and on Morning Espresso and on all the other content that we have. But across the board, great stories as we get you ready for every single day in the sport of soccer. So for everybody here at the SDH Network, for Jason, for Jarrett, for Nick, for Maddie, for Sophia, I'm John Nelson. Thanks for dropping by for the Best of SDHAM. Mucha plata, y'all. Play it safe. We'll catch up with you again next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As a man, finding a great pair of pants feels harder than it should. Some look sharp but feel stiff. Others are comfortable but wrinkle, stain, or lose their shape by noon. And if you're working, traveling, or constantly on the move, most pants just cannot keep up. That's where Jack Archer comes in.
JackArcher.com delivers one pair of pants designed for real life. Whether it's golf with the guys or date night with someone special, these pants will keep you comfortable and looking polished wherever the day takes you.
That's right, Mark. The Jack Archer Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built to hold its shape all day. With customizable fit options and multiple colors, these are the one pair of pants you'll want to wear every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.